Okay. The killing of the elephant, Kuvalayapida. After taking their baths and finishing all other morning duties, Krishna and Balaram could hear the beating of the kettle drums in the wrestling camp. They immediately prepared themselves to proceed to the spot to see the fun. When Krishna and Balaram reached the gate of the wrestling camp, they saw a big elephant of the name Kuvalayapida being tended by a caretaker. The caretaker was deliberately blocking their entrance by keeping the elephant in front of the gateway. Krishna could understand the purpose of the caretaker, and he prepared himself by tightening his dress before combating the elephant. He began to address the caretaker in a very grave voice, as resounding as a cloud. "You miscreant caretaker, give way and let me pass through the gate. If you block my way, I will send you and your elephant to the house of death personified." The caretaker, being insulted by Krishna, became very angry, and in order to challenge Krishna, as was previously planned, he provoked the elephant to attack. The elephant then moved before Krishna like inevitable death. It rushed toward him and tried to catch him with its trunk, but Krishna very dexterously moved behind the elephant. Being able to see only the end of its nose, the elephant could not see Krishna hiding behind its legs, but it tried to capture him with his trunk. Krishna again very quickly escaped capture, and he again ran behind the elephant and caught its tail. Holding the elephant by its tail, Krishna began to pull it, and with very great strength he dragged it for at least 25 yards, just as Garuda drags an insignificant snake. Krishna pulled the elephant from this side to that, from right to left, just as he used to pull the tail of a calf in his childhood. After this, Krishna went in front of the elephant and gave it a strong slap. He then slipped away from the elephant's view and ran to its back. Then, falling down on the ground, Krishna placed himself in front of the elephant's two legs and caused it to trip and fall. Krishna immediately got up, but the elephant, thinking that he was still lying down, tried to push an ivory tusk through the body of Krishna by forcibly stabbing it into the ground. Although the elephant was harassed and angry, the caretaker, riding on its head, tried to provoke it further. The elephant then rushed madly towards Krishna. As soon as it came within reach, Krishna caught hold of the trunk and pulled the elephant down. When the elephant and caretaker fell, Krishna jumped up on the elephant's back and broke it and killed the caretaker also. After killing the elephant, Krishna took an ivory tusk on his shoulder, decorated with drops of perspiration and sprinkled with the blood of the elephant. He felt very blissful, and thus he began to proceed toward the wrestling camp. Lord Balaram took the other tusk of the elephant on his shoulder. Accompanied by their cowherd boyfriends, they entered the arena. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena with Balaram and their friends, he appeared differently to different people according to their different relationships, rasas, with him. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure and all kinds of rasas, both favorable and unfavorable. He appeared to the wrestlers exactly like a thunderbolt. To the people in general, he appeared as the most beautiful personality. To the females, he appeared to be the most attractive male, Cupid personified, and thus increased their lust. The cowherd men who were present there looked upon Krishna as their own kinsman, coming from the same village of Vrindavan. The Kshatriya kings who were present saw him as the strongest ruler. To the parents of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda, he appeared to be the most loving child. To Kamsa, the king of the Bhoja dynasty, he appeared to be death personified. To the unintelligent, he appeared to be an incapable personality. To the yogis present, he appeared to be the supersoul. To the members of the Vrishni dynasty, he appeared to be the most celebrated descendant. Thus appreciated differently by different kinds of men present, Krishna entered the wrestling arena with Balaram and his cowherd boyfriends. Having heard that Krishna had already killed the elephant, Kuvalayapida, Kamsa knew beyond doubt that Krishna was formidable. He thus became very much afraid of him. Krishna and Balaram had long hands. They were beautifully dressed and they were attractive to all the people assembled there. They were dressed as if they were going to act on a dramatic stage, and they drew the attention of the people. So Krishna entered into the arena, and he appeared different to different people according to their rasas, relationship. So, to the wrestlers, he appeared like a thunderbolt. To the people in general, he appeared to be the most beautiful personality. To the females, he appeared to be Cupid, the most attractive male, and thus increased their lust. The coward men who were present there looked upon Krishna as their own kinsmen, close, coming from the same village of Vrindavan. The Kshatriya kings who were present saw him as the strongest ruler. To the parents of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda, he appeared to be the most loving child. To Kamsa, the king of the Bhoja dynasty, he appeared to be death personified. To the unintelligent, he appeared to be an incapable personality. To the yogis present, he appeared to be the super soul. To the members of the Vrishni dynasty, he appeared to be? Yes, the most celebrated descendant, thus appreciated differently by different people present. The citizens of Mathura city who saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became very pleased and began to look on his face with insatiable glances as if they were drinking the nectar of heaven. Seeing Krishna gave them so much pleasure that it appeared that they were not only drinking the nectar of seeing his face, but they were smelling the aroma and licking up the taste of his body, and they were embracing him and Balaram with their arms. They began to talk among themselves about the two transcendental brothers. For a long time, they had heard of the beauty and activities of Krishna and Balaram, but now they were personally seeing them face to face. They thought that Krishna and Balaram were two plenary incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who had appeared in Vrindavan. The citizens of Mathura began to recite Krishna's pastimes, his birth as the son of Vasudev, his being taken into the care of Nanda Maharaj and his wife in Gokula, and all those events leading to his coming to Mathura. They spoke of the killing of the demon Putana, as well as the killing of Trinavarta, who came as a whirlwind. They also recalled the deliverance of the twin brothers from within the Yamala Arjun trees. The citizens of Mathura spoke among themselves. Shakasura, Keshi, Dainakasura, and many other demons were killed by Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Krishna also saved all the cowherd men of Vrindavan from devastating fire. He chastised the Kaliya snake in the water of Jamuna, and he curbed the false pride of the heavenly king Indra. Krishna held up the great Govardhan hill in one hand for 7 continuous days and saved all the people of Gokula from incessant rain, hurricane, and windstorm. They also began to remember other enlivening activities. The damsels of Vrindavan were so pleased by seeing Krishna's beauty and participating in his activities that they forgot the purpose of material existence. By seeing and thinking of Krishna, they forgot all sorts of material fatigue. The Mathura citizens discussed the dynasty of Yadu, saying that because of Krishna's appearance in this dynasty, the Yadus would remain the most celebrated family in the whole universe. While they were thus talking about the activities of Krishna and Balaram, they heard the vibrations of different bands announcing the wrestling match. We met a wrestler the other night going door to door. Actually, it was last night. I opened the door, and he was right there, and a big guy, you know, with this stocking cap on, and I heard the TV going in the back. Sounded like some kind of athletic event. I said, "Oh, are you watching the football game?" He goes, "No, it's wrestling." I said, "Oh, you're a wrestler?" And he said, "I used to be." And I said, "Well, here, take a look at these spiritual books." And he said, "Spiritual books? Great." And I said, "Really, you're into this?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm an alcoholic." And he said, "I've been going to AA, and I'm trying to find something spiritual, my higher power." And I gave him a Krishna book. And after I left, he bought the books. He gave us $10. I was thinking, I should have shown him this section, which occurred to me later on. The famous wrestler Chanura then began to talk with Krishna and Balaram. "My dear Krishna and Balaram," he said, "we have heard about your past activities. You are great heroes, and therefore the king has called you. We have heard that your arms are very strong. The king of all the people present here desire to see a display of your wrestling abilities. A citizen should be obedient and please the mind of the ruling king, acting in that way. The citizen attains all kinds of good fortune. One who does not care to act obediently is made unhappy because of the king's anger. You are coward boys, and we have heard that while tending your cows in the forest, you enjoy wrestling with each other. We wish, therefore, for you to join us in wrestling so that all the people present here, along with the king, will be pleased. Krishna immediately understood the purpose of Chanura's statements, and he prepared to wrestle with him. But according to the time and circumstances, he spoke as follows. You are the subject of the king of Boja, and you live in the jungle. We are also indirectly his subjects, and we try to please him as far as possible. This offer of wrestling is a great favor of his, but the fact is that we are simply boys. We sometimes play in the forest of Vrindavan with our friends who are our own age. We think that to combat persons of equal age and strength is good for us, but to fight great wrestlers like you would not be good for the audience. It would contradict their religious principles. Krishna thus indicated that the celebrated strong wrestlers should not challenge Krishna and Balaram to fight. In reply to this, Chanura said, My dear Krishna, we can understand that you are neither a child nor a young man. You are transcendental to everyone, as is your big brother Balaram. You have already killed the elephant Kuvalayapida, who is capable of fighting and defeating other elephants. You have killed him in a wonderful way. Because of your strength, it behooves you to compete with the stronger wrestlers among us. I therefore wish to wrestle with you, and your elder brother Balaram will wrestle with Mushtika. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, eighth chapter of Krishna, the killing of the elephant Kuvalayapida. Hare Krishna. You want to hear more? The killing of Kamsa. After Kamsa's wrestlers expressed their determination, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the killer of Madhu, confronted Chanura, and Lord Balaram, the son of Rohini, confronted Mushtika. Krishna and Chanura, and then Balaram and Mushtika, locked themselves hand to hand, leg to leg, and each began to press against the other with a view to come out victorious. They joined palm to palm, calf to calf, head to head, chest to chest, and began to strike each other. The fighting increased as they pushed one another from one place to another. One captured another and threw him down on the ground, and another rushed from the back to the front, and another and tried to overcome him with a hold. The fighting increased step by step. There was picking up, the dragging and pushing, and then the legs and the hands were locked together. All the arts of wrestling were perfectly exhibited by the parties, as each tried his best to defeat his opponent. But the audience in the wrestling arena was not very satisfied because the combatants did not appear to be equally matched. They considered Krishna and Balaram to be mere boys before the wrestlers Chanura and Mushtika, who were huge men as solid as stone. Being compassionate and favoring Krishna and Balaram, many members of the audience began to talk as follows. Dear friends, there's danger here. Another said, even in front of the king, this wrestling is going on between incompatible sides. The audience had lost their sense of enjoyment. They could not encourage the fighting between the strong and the weak. Mushtika and Chanura are just like thunderbolts, as strong as great mountains, and Krishna and Balaram are two delicate boys of very tender age. The principle of justice has already left this assembly. Persons who are aware of the civilized principles of justice will not remain to watch this unfair match. Those taking part in the wrestling match are not very much enlightened. Therefore, whether they speak or remain silent, they are being subjected to the reactions of sinful activities. But, my dear friends, another in the assembly spoke out, just look at the face of Krishna. There are drops of perspiration on his face from chasing his enemy, and his face appears like the lotus flower with drops of water. And do you see how the face of Lord Balaram has turned especially beautiful? There is a reddish hue on his white face because he is engaged in a strong wrestling match with Mushtika. Ladies in the assembly also addressed one another. Dear friends, just imagine how fortunate the land of Vrindavan is, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is present, always decorated with flower garlands and engaged in tending cows along with his brother, Lord Balaram. He is always accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends, and he plays his transcendental flute. The residents of Vrindavan are fortunate to be able to constantly see the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, which are worshipped by great demigods like Lord Shiva and Brahma and the goddess of fortune. We cannot estimate how many pious activities were executed by the damsels of Rajabhumi so that they were able to enjoy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and look on the unparalleled beauty of His transcendental body. The beauty of the Lord is beyond compare. No one is higher or equal to Him in beauty of complexion or bodily luster. Krishna and Balaram are the savior of all kinds of opulence, namely wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. The gopis are so fortunate that they can see and think of Krishna 24 hours a day, beginning from their milking the cows or husking the paddy or churning the butter in the morning. While engaged in cleaning their homes and washing their floors, they are always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. The gopis give a perfect example of how one can execute Krishna consciousness, even if he is in different types of material engagement. By constantly being absorbed in the thought of Krishna, one cannot be affected by the contamination of material activities. The gopis are, therefore, perfectly in trance, samadhi, the highest perfectional stage of mystic power. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that one who is constantly thinking of Krishna is a first-class yogi among all kinds of yogis. Verse? Yoginam api sarvesham madgatanantaratmana sharavan bhajate mam same yuktatamo mataha. My dear friends, one lady told another, we must accept the gopis' activities to be the highest form of piety. Otherwise, how could they have achieved the opportunity of seeing Krishna both morning and evening when he goes to the pasturing ground with his cows and cowherd boyfriends and returns in the evening? They frequently see him playing on his flute and smiling very brilliantly. When Lord Krishna, the supersoul of every living being, understood that the ladies in the assembly were anxious for him, he decided not to continue wrestling, but to kill the wrestlers immediately. The parents of Krishna and Balaram, namely Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Vasudev and Devaki, were also very anxious because they did not know the unlimited strength of their children. Lord Balaram was fighting with the wrestler Mushtika in the same way that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fighting and wrestling with Chanura. Lord Krishna appeared to be cruel to Chanura, and he immediately struck him thrice with his fist. The great wrestler was jolted to the astonishment of the audience. Chanura then took the last chance and attacked Krishna, just as one hawk swoops upon another. Folding his two hands, he began to strike the chest of Krishna, but Lord Krishna was not even slightly disturbed, no more than an elephant that is hit by a flower garland. Krishna quickly caught the two hands of Chanura and began to wheel him around, and simply by this centrifugal action, Chanura lost his life. Krishna then threw him to the ground. Chanura fell just like the flag of Indra, and all his nicely decorated ornaments were scattered hither and thither. Mushtika also struck Balaram, and Balaram returned the stroke with great force. Mushtika began to tremble, and blood and vomit flowed from his mouth. Distressed, he gave up his vital force and fell down, just as a tree falls down in a hurricane. After the two wrestlers were killed, a wrestler named Kuta came forward. Lord Balaram immediately caught him in his left hand and killed him nonchalantly. Another wrestler of the name Shala came forward, and Krishna immediately kicked him and cracked his head. Another wrestler named Toshala came forward and was killed in the same way. Thus all the great wrestlers were killed by Krishna and Balaram, and the remaining wrestlers began to flee from the assembly out of fear for their lives. All the coward boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram approached them and congratulated them with great pleasure. While drums beat and they talked of the victory, the leg bells on the feet of Krishna and Balaram tinkled. All people gathered there began to clap in great ecstasy, and no one could estimate the bounds of their pleasure. The Brahmins present began to praise Krishna and Balaram ecstatically. Only Kamsa was morose. He neither clapped nor offered benediction to Krishna. Kamsa resented the drums being beaten for Krishna's victory, and he was very sorry that the wrestlers had been killed and had fled the assembly. He therefore immediately ordered the drum playing to stop and began to address his friends as follows. I order that these two sons of Vasudeva be immediately driven out of Mathura. The coward boys who have come with them should be plundered and all their riches taken away. Nanda Maharaj should immediately be arrested and killed for his cunning behavior, and the rascal Vasudeva should also be killed without delay. Also my father, Ugrasena, who has always supported my enemies against my will, should be killed. When Kamsa spoke in this way, Lord Krishna became very angry with him, and within a second he jumped over the high guards of King Kamsa. Kamsa was prepared for Krishna's attack, for he knew from the beginning that he was to be the cause of his death. He immediately unsheathed his sword and prepared to answer the challenge of Krishna with sword and shield. As Kamsa wielded his sword up and down, hither and thither, Lord Krishna, the supreme powerful Lord, caught hold of him with great force. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the complete creation and from whose lotus navel the whole creation is manifested, immediately knocked the crown from the head of Kamsa and grabbed his long hair in his hand. He then dragged Kamsa from his seat to the wrestling dais and threw him down. Then Krishna at once straddled his chest and began to strike him over and over again. Simply from the strokes of his fist, Kamsa lost his vital force. In order to assure his parents that Kamsa was dead, Lord Krishna dragged him just as a lion drags an elephant after killing it. On sight of this, there was a great roaring sound from all sides, as some spectators expressed their jubilation and others cried in lamentation. From the day Kamsa heard that he would be killed by the eighth son of Devaki, he was always thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day without any stoppage, even while he was eating, while he was walking, while he was breathing, and naturally he got the blessing of liberation. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Sada tad bhava bhavitaha. A person gets his next life according to the thoughts in which he is always absorbed. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna with his wheel, which means Narayan, who holds a wheel, conch shell, lotus flower, and club. According to the opinion of authorities, Kamsa attains Sarupya Mukti after death. That is to say, he attained the same form as Narayan, Vishnu. On the Vaikuntha planets, all the inhabitants have the same bodily features as Narayan. After his death, Kamsa attained liberation and was promoted to Vishnu to Vaikuntha Loka. From this instance, we can understand that even a person who thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enemy gets liberation and a place in a Vaikuntha planet. So what to speak of the pure devotees who are always absorbed in favorable thoughts of Krishna? Even an enemy who is killed by Krishna gets liberation and is placed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all good, anyone thinking of him either as enemy or as a friend gets liberation. But the liberation of the devotee and the liberation of the enemy are not the same. The enemy generally gets the liberation of Sayuja, and sometimes he gets Sarupya liberation. Kamsa had eight brothers, headed by Kanka. All of them were younger than he, and when they learned that their elder brother had been killed, they combined together and rushed toward Krishna in great anger to kill him. Kamsa and his brothers were all Krishna's maternal uncles. They were all brothers of Krishna's mother, Devaki. When Krishna killed Kamsa, he killed his maternal uncle, which is against the regulation of Vedic injunction. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunction, he violates the Vedic injunction only in inevitable cases. Kamsa could not be killed by anyone but Krishna. Therefore, Krishna was obliged to kill him. As far as Kamsa's eight brothers are concerned, Balaram took charge of killing them. Balaram's mother, Rohini, although the wife of Vasudeva, was not the sister of Kamsa. Therefore, Balaram took charge of killing all of Kamsa's eight brothers. He immediately took up an available weapon, most probably the elephant's tusk, which he carried, and killed the eight brothers one after another, just as a lion kills a flock of deer. Krishna and Balaram thus verified the statement that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears to give protection to the pious and to kill the impious demons who are always enemies of the demigods. Verse? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge The demigods from the higher planetary systems began to shower flowers, congratulating Krishna and Balaram. Among the demigods were powerful personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and all joined together in showing their jubilation over Kamsa's death. There was beating of drums and showering of flowers from the heavenly planets, and the wives of the demigods began to dance in ecstasy. The wives of Kamsa and his eight brothers became aggrieved on account of their husband's sudden death, and their husband's sudden deaths, and all of them were striking their foreheads and shedding torrents of tears. They were crying very loudly and embracing the bodies of their husbands. The wives of Kamsa and his brothers began to lament, addressing the dead bodies. Our dear husbands, you are so kind and are the protectors of your dependents. Now, after your death, we are also dead, along with your homes and children. We are no longer looking very auspicious. On account of your death, the auspicious functions which were to take place, such as the sacrifice of the bow, have all been spoiled. Our dear husbands, you treated persons ill who were faultless, and as a result, you have been killed. This is the inevitable. This is inevitable, because a person who torments an innocent person must be punished by the laws of nature. We know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Master of everything and the Supreme Enjoyer of everything, and therefore anyone who neglects his authority can never be happy, and ultimately, as you have, he meets death. Since Krishna was kind and affectionate to his aunts, he began to give them solace as far as was possible. The ritualistic ceremonies after death were then conducted under the personal supervision of Krishna, because he happened to be the nephew of all the dead princes. After finishing this business, Krishna and Balaram immediately released their father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, who had been imprisoned by Kamsa. Krishna and Balaram fell at their parents' feet and offered them prayers. Vasudeva and Devaki had suffered so much trouble because Krishna was their son. It was because of Krishna that Kamsa was always giving them trouble. Devaki and Vasudeva were fully conscious of Krishna's exalted position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Krishna touched their feet and offered obeisances and prayers to them, they did not embrace him, but simply stood up to hear the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Krishna was born as their son, Vasudeva and Devaki were always conscious of his position. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 9th chapter of Krishna, The Killing of Kamsa. Goprimanande. Any comments? Yeah, Rasiko. Take the mic.
I just found it was really nice you just picked up that pastime, because I was just, there's this artistic competition online about doing a picture of an avatar, and I was thinking, I should do something for this competition. It'll be a good start. And then I was thinking, I should do some pastime of Krishna, maybe Nisringa Dev or something. And then all of a sudden this picture of Kuvalayapita appeared in my head, and I've been drawing sketches of, you know, Krishna killing Kuvalayapita, and then you just come up with this verse right now. Just talking.
Oh, perfect timing.
Krishna's really God.
Nice. Jai.
What does the Kuvalayapita represent? Does he have a significance?
You mean from Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Mm-hmm.
No, not that I can remember. He doesn't list him. But I'll double check. But I don't remember that the Kuvalayapita is listed as one of the Anartas.
And also the Saratha Darsini, I think. That's the green book with the gold letters. That has a more expanded description of that pastime. Who is that by?
Krishna Chakravarti Thakur.
Does that also cover the wrestling match?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Do we have one here?
Huh? What's that? 10th canto. Yeah, 10th canto. Vishnu Chakravarti, that Saratha Darshini is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary of the 10th canto. But it's nice to read it along with the Krishna book, and then, you know, there's some more details. Anything else?